This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah, this is the 14th night of Ramadan. And we're quickly approaching the midway mark, I think tomorrow, as it's called in Cape Town, is Buba'ant, yes? Right? And then we will be going into the last 10 nights, and before we look at it, 2 weeks' time, 27th night would have been done, and we're already sort of focused on Eid. So therefore, with half the month still to go, we need to focus and inshallah, you know, rethink what we've achieved, and hopefully we pray that Allah grants us the second half is even better than the first half. If we fell behind, we can catch up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember this hadith, the Prophet says, you are also judged the way you end an action. So if you started a bit slow, if you can end on a high, may Allah reward us according to that high. Yesterday we spoke about the man, the parable of the man who had two gardens and his friend who had nothing, and how his wealth misled him, and how his wealth made him feel better than anyone else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away everything from him in a moment, everything he lost in a split second. And Allah says, there was none to protect him from Allah. All those people, all those helpers deserted him. So Allah says, هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ وَخَيْرٌ ثَوَابُ وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. They, on the day of Qiyamah and reality in life as well, the wilaya, the protection, that is the true protection, will only be with Allah. Only be with Allah. And before in the past, as we said, the mushrikeen, they used to worship a number of deities. But when they were in a severe situation, like on a boat, they were about to sink, that's when they besieged Allah sincerely. That's when they asked Allah sincerely. So Allah saying, in times of hardship, you'll realize that everything leaves you. When you're on your, subhanAllah, when we're on our deathbed, the last thing we'll think about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that is the only protection. The only protection, the only wilaya is Allah. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابٌ وَخَيْرٌ أُقْبَىٰ. And he is the best for reward and the best for the final end. The only thing that you can really depend on in the end of the day is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will fail you. Your businesses will fail you. Your family will leave you. Your health will leave you. The only one that will be with you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you depend on Him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue the motif or the parable of life and death and a garden. So Allah continues the story of the man with two gardens. And Allah explains all of us actually are like that man. We all have a garden. You'll find this in many, many places in the Quran. Allah describes this life as vegetation. And the farmers, and before we lived in built-up cities, everyone who would understand this parable, that every year you need to start all over. You work hard, you put your seeds in, it grows, it looks beautiful, and then it dies, and then it starts all over again. Nothing gets carried over to the next year. If you were not successful in the previous year, then you made a huge loss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ. Give an example to them. مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Give an example of this life, حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطْ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ شِيمًا تَذْرُهُ الرِّيَاحُ. Allah says, and put forward to them the example of this worldly life. It is like the water that we send down from the sky, meaning the rain. And it mingles with the earth and grows vegetation, and then it becomes fresh and green. But later it becomes dry and broken pieces, which the wind scatters away. And Allah is able to do everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is your life. That you will start off small, you grow, you reach the prime of your life, whoever you are, no matter what you achieve, no matter how many billions you achieve, no matter how strong you are, how big your armies are, you will all scatter in the wind and become nothing. Allah says, just like that plant, how fragile that plant is. Now none of us, subhanAllah, and we think about this, none of us would put our entire, hopes and our salvation on a plant, because we know that plant is not going to last. When we think of a plant, you buy it for your mother on Mother's Day, your wife, on the anniversary, after a few days it withers and dies. Allah says, your life is just like that. So don't put all your hopes and all your dreams in that thing which will ultimately disappear. Another tafsir, beautiful tafsir is, Allah says, and the likeness of this life is that which comes from the sky, meaning water. So Allah is literally, this tafsir is saying, this life is literally like water. That it gives you life, water gives you life. But too much of water does what? It kills you. That if you stuff yourself and you go excessive of this dunya, it will kill you. And how many people do we know in this age that have all of this dunya, the excesses of life, but they're miserable. In fact, some of them actually kill themselves. Because we can see. And the opposite we see in Ramadan. We starve ourselves of the dunya. We literally starve our body. And we find an increase in happiness and spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this life, too much of it will destroy you. And Allah is able to do all things. And now this ayah, subhanAllah, is a beautiful ayah of Surah Al-Kahf. Al-Malu wal-Banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. Allah says, your wealth and children are the things that make this life beautiful. They are the decorations of this life. The things that make you happy are your wealth and your kids. But they are only a decoration. Meaning, it's not really going to benefit you. You know, beyond that, if you just live for that, it will only be here as a decoration. No substance, your wealth and your kids. Some ulama said, why did Allah begin with wealth? Surely we love our children more than our wealth. And yes, in reality, I hope most of us we do. We love our kids more than our wealth. Because if you look at your position in your life, from when you are young until you're old, you'll always desire wealth. But only in a certain phase in your life would you want kids. When you're too young, you didn't really think about kids. When you're too old, if your wife tells you she's pregnant again, it's like a musibah. So Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, right? So, but we always want wealth. We always want wealth and kids. But Allah says, that is the things that we work for, and that which we desire the most, it is only a decoration of this dunya. It only beautifies this dunya. And like the garden that will disappear, your wealth and kids will also disappear. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ إِنَّ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابٌ وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. But the good righteous deeds that will last forever. الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ, Allah says, think about everything. Everything is temporary. Everything in this world is going to disappear, like all this becomes dust, except الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ. Your good deeds is eternal. The good deeds, that salah that you made, will stand eternal. It's an investment that will never ever end. That one sujood, that one day of fasting, Allah says, al-baqiyatu salihat. The good deeds that will last forever, khayrun inda rabbika. That is better to Allah than your wealth and your children, and to you, thawaban, wa khayrun amala. And that is the best thing to put your hopes in. Amala is what you should put your hopes in. Put your hopes in your good deeds, not in your wealth, not in your kids, not in this dunya. Because the only things that you're going to carry with you to the akhirah are these baqiyat as-salihat, the good deeds. So invest hard in those good deeds. So Allah says, وَيَوْمَنَا Allah will jumps to the day of qiyamah. So Allah says, you've been in this dunya, whatever you sowed, وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ. A day will come when even the mountains will turn to dust. So if imagine the mountains will disappear, then what of this of your life will remain? وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً. And you will see the earth flat. We said the day of Qiyamah, where would it be? It will be on some plain, some flat place where there isn't a hill or a valley. The only structure is on that day, the throne of Allah. That's the only, you know, landmark. This is an open flat plain where people, the whole of humanity and jinn will stand. And the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, all of those of creation will stand before Allah. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. And all of them will be gathered, and none will be left behind. Every single one of us will be there. All of us will stand on that day. وَعُرِدُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And we will stand, we will return to our Lord, and we will stand in rows. So everyone will stand in rows, as we were created before. Meaning, we will stand there naked, without any shoes on, uncircumcised, everyone, all are standing like that, in a rows, quiet, everyone's head downcast, not saying a word, not wanting to look up. Now, Qiyamah has many, many stages. One stage, humanity will be in crisis, running around and going to one Nabi, to the next Nabi, yeah, speaking to Nabi after Nabi, please speak to Allah, speak to Allah. Then a time will come when Allah Himself will come, Jahannam will be present, Jannah will be present, and everyone will just be silenced, everyone will be quiet, waiting for the judgment. So Allah says, بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّنْ نَجَعَ لَكُمْ مَوْئِدًا. But you thought that we will not appoint for you a meeting. Allah will say, most of you forgot that you had a meeting with me on this day. وَوُدِيَ الْكِتَابِ. And that day, the book will be presented. Now the book is not the Quran. Means what? The book of your life. The book of your deeds. Every person will be presented a report card, a book. وَوُدِيَ الْكِتَابِ. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِكِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَكُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَنَتَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابُ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So Allah says, on that day, as they are standing, everyone will be given your book. The believers, those who are successful, they will already have the good news that they receive their books in their right hand. As for those who were unsuccessful, they receive it in their left hand, and they'll put their hands behind their back, but it will be forced in their hands. So Allah says, the criminals, those who committed sin, the sinners, and will get their book in their left hand, they will feel immense fear. Mushfiqeen is to feel immense terror of the consequences inside that book. And when they open their book, they will say, woe to us, what kind of book is this, that it records everything, big and small, and it has left nothing out. It is meticulously accounted for. Every single second and moment of our life has been accounted in that book. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And Allah says that I do not wrong or commit injustice to anybody. As we said, we enter this month is the month of forgiveness. We said that beautiful dua that we will recite. We should be reciting it now. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Al-afu is the one who erase. It means to erase. It literally, Allah takes your book and the sins that are in it and expunges it. It wipes out the sin completely. Doesn't exist anymore. That record is clean. No other time in the year does more of the books get cleansed like in this time. So Allah gives us this parable and says, think about it. Your life is this garden. It will disappear. Your kids will disappear. Your wealth will disappear. That which you're competing will disappear. You will end up getting a book on the day of Qiyamah. And the only things that will count heavily on that book, the good deeds that remain behind. So, we're talking about wealth. And we'll conclude the section about wealth before we go to our next section. And let's talk a little bit about investing in the Akhirah. Talk about investing in the Akhirah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we go to the next slide. When we think of wealthy people, most of us believe that when we think of privileged people, we think of those living in Bishop's Court or Clifton. That's the rich people. I'm not rich. Everyone thinks they're not rich, right? Allah is saying all of us should beware of our wealth. Now look at this hadith. The Prophet says in Bukhari, it's actually in Adab al-Mufrad, also by Imam Bukhari, but not Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet says, the one among you who wakes up secure in his property, he's safe in his property, healthy in his body, and he has food for that day, then it is as if though the whole world were given to him. If you have those three things, then you are a wealthy person. You know, today in South Africa, there's a big discussion about the privileged, those who are privileged. Anyone who has these three things is privileged, Allah says. You are privileged to have that. That's privilege. If you have those three things, you're safe, you have health, and you have food for that day, alhamdulillah, you are privileged. So we are all wealthy. And as we said, the poor Sahaba complained to the Prophet about the rich Sahaba. How can we compete? So the Prophet says, even if you can't spend in charity, there are ways of increasing your portfolio in the Akhirah. So how can we increase in our portfolios in the Akhirah? The first thing, of course, the best thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, and spend something out of the provisions which He has bestowed upon you before death comes. And one of the things the people on the day of resurrection, they will say to Allah, Ya Rabb, allow us to go back so that we can do one thing. And that one thing is to spend, to give more charity. Just give us 1 second to go back to make an EFT and we will come back here. So the one biggest regret, we will regret that we did not give more in charity. That will be the one regret that we have. And as we said, if you're not able to give charity, there are other ways of increasing in your Akhirah portfolio. Think about this every time. The baqiyatu salihat, the things that will endure, my investment that will last, my pension in the Akhirah, either financially spend. If you can't do that, obviously ibadah. If you can't do that, the Prophet says every subhanallah is like a tree being planted for you in Jannah. Every astaghfirullah, every alhamdulillah. Even as we said, a husband and a wife together, there's a reward in that. Even smiling. If you can't do anything, then say, you know what, I can't give charity. I can't afford charity. Then make a point of smiling all the time. I'm going to smile continuously. And that will be my charity. This last few tips we said, I'm going to give some advice how to build your Akhirah portfolio. So what are the things that count the most? Look, we don't have a lot of time in the dunya. We don't have a lot of wealth. How do we invest? This is investment discussion. I'm talking as an accountant now. Right? How do you build your portfolio in the Akhirah? So the things that count the heaviest on Qiyamah, the heaviest, mightiest thing, the thing that will guarantee you, you will go to Jannah, inshaAllah, even if you have sins, even if you must go to Jahannam, if you have that Tawheed card in your hand, Ya Allah, La ilaha illallah, I never committed shirk. I never went to a Ikramat to worship it. I never wore Tawi for protection. I never did any of those things. Whenever I needed something, I depended on you, then you're guaranteed Jannah. So that's the number one thing, Tawheed, the heaviest thing on the scale. After that, of course, Salah. The one, as the Prophet tells us, once they pass the believers, they pass that question of Tawheed, the next big question on our exam on Qiyamah will be Salah. Allah will audit our salah. And if our salah is intact, all the compulsory ones were done, and if we made mistakes in the compulsory one, we had enough sunnah salahs like Taraweeh to fill it up, if you pass that question, then basically you're one foot in Jannah. Then the Jannah is open for you. Now it's about your levels in Jannah. And now it's just about the minor things need to be sorted out. So those two things are the big ones. Tawheed and Salah, and of course your pillars of Islam. As for the next things, the heaviest things that you can have on your scale is good character. So even if you have 1,000 khatams, even if you have 1 million, billions of rands of charity, the man who has good character will exceed you in that. Treating people well, smiling with people, speaking to people well, will be heavier on your scale than all those nafil things. Of course, Allah, so that's a lifetime we need to do those things. But then Allah gives freebies, bonuses, things that will make your investment very, very big. One of the big multipliers for your investment is Ramadan. There's a weak hadith that says every single deed that is done outside of Ramadan, in Ramadan, it's multiplied by 70. For example, an umrah in Ramadan is equal to a hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. Everything in Ramadan is added up exponentially. So when you do good deeds in Ramadan, you give charity in Ramadan, it's multiplied many, many times over. Laylatul Qadr, 83 years of reward is given to you. No other, you know, real deed is equal to that. Then you have Salah in Jama'ah, 27 times multiplied from the normal Sunnah Salah. Salah in the front row. Salah in the Haram, 100,000 times. One Fajr in the Haram of Makkah, equal to 100,000 times Fajr, anywhere, you know, normal Fajr. And we have this thing, we've given this many, many times, inshallah, we'll share it again tonight, perhaps on the email and WhatsApp, those shortcuts to Jannah. Small deeds that give maximum rewards, for example, just one of the examples. The person who comes early to Jumu'ah, he ghusls Friday morning, his wife ghusls, and he comes to Jummah before the Imam, and he sits in the masjid before the Imam comes there, and he sits close, not in the back, right in front. Then every step he took to the masjid is 1 year of fasting, 1 year of tahajjud. Every step. How many steps to the masjid? Maybe 1,000 steps. 1,000 years of fasting. Small action, massive reward. Small action, massive reward. The person who stays after Fajr, we said this, and he recites, you know, after he comes to the masjid, he makes Fajr, he stays an hour and a half until sunrise, he makes 2 raka'ahs, then for him is a complete, the Prophet says, Hajjun taman, 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 accepted Hajj, just for that hour of ibadah. So there are these shortcuts to Jannah, inshallah we'll share that to you. Of course, there are certain investments, alhamdulillah, and again, be strategic with your investments, with your money in particular. Giving charity is good, but there are some charities that will continue reaping dividends even after you die. Those sadaqatul jariyah. Sadaqatul jariyah. Anything that continues to benefit you after you die, there will be, subhanAllah, people that will come to Allah in Qiyamah, and they'll be shocked when they see their reward. They know, they didn't do much in the dunya. So how did I get all of this? And Allah will say, it's because of the son that you left behind, was pious, made dua for you this. Or the plant that you... the tree that you planted, it lived for 300-400 years. Animals ate from it. There was shade. People sat under it. You get reward for that. And we said these masajid in the Bukhab over 100 years. That Buddha that put a brick there, subhanAllah, while we're sitting here, he's getting a reward in his qabr. Long after he died, that reward is coming. Knowledge that was passed on. You now can share a lecture, or you can share a authentic hadith, of course, and that will increase. These shortcuts to Jannah, very good thing. Get it, share it. Even if you don't practice on it, other people practice it, but you get the rewards. So be strategic in your ibadah. And therefore, be, as I said, these reoccurring rewards, and just my advice to you. So if you can, it's good to feed people, very good. Good to do all kinds of ibadat. But donate, for example, make of your charity for the masjid. Alhamdulillah, a lot of people donated for the roof. The nursery school is still there for you to donate. A very good initiative that I personally donate to is Muslim Central. 2 million people visit this website every month. 2 million people visit this website to learn about the deen. And it's like the biggest school you can think of. Simple thing to donate to. IDP, you know, donating to imams, and they teach every month over 20,000 people through them. It's a good initiative to donate to. It benefits you. So these are the kind of things that you need to continuously increase in your portfolio. I end off with this. Like they are multipliers, they are nullifiers. They are things that can completely destroy your investment. Shirk, number one, completely destroys it. One drop of shirk will ruin all your good deeds. So never ever go close to it. Riya, doing it for people to see, Allah makes it zero. And of course, when you harm others, How are you going to repay them? You can only repay them with good deeds on Qiyamah. So if anyone, if you know you've harmed somebody, fix it in the dunya, or you're going to have to do a lot of good deeds to pay that man back on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, put barakah in our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our good deeds, like Allah says, He takes that charity you give, and He plants it, and He waters it. So when you get to Qiyamah, it's a huge good deed, a mountain of good deeds. May Allah grant that for all of us. Ameen. We had a question, when should we say MashaAllah? Obviously when you feel a sense of pride or you see something you like, say MashaAllah. One person says, no, but can't I say InshaAllah? I see something I like, InshaAllah, for me as well. That's also fine, but first MashaAllah. Right, what is the heaviest thing on the scale on Qiyamah? Is it good character? Is it Tawheed? Is it pray? Laylatul Qadr? Should be an easy one. What is the heaviest thing on our scales on the day of Qiyamah? Easy. Any questions, westmuhammad@gmail.com. You can visit our website, burhanul.org.za, and you can join our mailing list on 0804-222-1308. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.